The message that the Lord placed on my heart last week on discerning His body made such an impact on my own heart. I couldn't help but talk about this in every meeting that I had while I was away. I spoke 8 times in those 3 days. And I couldn't help but make reference, because this was such a dynamic truth, and people needed it in their lives. And in the course of these services, hearts were moved. At one morning service, people came from all over because of the hunger for the message of liberation. And though the roads were covered with black ice those days that we were there, and schools were closed in quite a number of communities, buses could not run even just a few blocks taking children to young people to school, one busload came all the way from Linden, Washington, 80 miles over that black ice. The first day they had 30 people loaded in that bus. The next day, schools were down. They picked up some of the school teachers, some of the young people from the schools there, and they brought down 40 people to the meeting. There was such a hunger for this message that our sins are gone, that you can trust Him to take care of things. And I was mentioning this in that first morning service. And the Spirit of God took this message, this truth, and started it moving through this congregation in a spirit of weeping and love and adoration to God. And we had to stop for 15 minutes. We couldn't continue because there was such a cloud of God's glory as people were praising God for the freedom, for the liberation that they felt that they had longed for so long. Hallelujah. God's doing it, folks. When I got home, Sharon handed me a little paper with a poem, a song written on it that one of the young ladies here at the church wrote on the fact that Christ does not remember our sin. He wants nothing by which to remember it. We're not pardoned, but we're justified. And I would like to encourage you, we have duplicated over 200 of these messages, and they're at the table. Many have stated that they wanted them. If you would like to take one and share it with others, you do not have the $2.50 for it. Take one anyway. We want these messages to get out because the Spirit is accompanying them and they're liberating people. Praise God. So I'm going to ask our sister Fisher. Is it D. Fisher? C.C. Fisher. If she will come and sing this little song that God put on her heart last week as a result of this service.
When God gave me the song, I just relived my justification, and it was really exciting to me because I began to really realize what Christ did through what Pastor Buck spoke on last Sunday. And you might remember to pray for me. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Could I put that there on the book? Well, I think so.
I wasn't pardoned, I was justified today. For the precious blood of Jesus, well, it washed my sins all away. There's not one sin left to remind Him of the old nature that just died, 'cause I wasn't pardoned, I was justified. He didn't sign a piece of paper stating I was free. Instead, he took my sins and failures with him to Calvary. My forgiveness wasn't signed in me, but in blood from his own side, 'cause I wasn't pardoned. I was justified. I wasn't pardoned. I was justified today. For the precious blood of Jesus, well, he washed my sins away. There's not one sin left to remind him of the old nature that just died, 'cause I wasn't pardoned. I was justified. Now no charges stand against me when I come before his throne. And what people say doesn't matter, I'm not facing them alone. I can stand tall in his righteousness. I no longer have to hide, 'cause I'm not pardoned. I'm justified. I wasn't pardoned. I was justified today. For the precious blood of Jesus, well, he washed my sins all away. There's not one sin left to remind me of the old nature that just died, 'cause I wasn't pardoned. I was justified. Now I'm a citizen of heaven, and my rights, they're all intact. In Christ I stand complete, and there's no good thing that I lack. Why, it's just as if I'd never sinned. I'm clean deep down inside, 'cause I'm not pardoned. I'm justified. I wasn't pardoned. I was justified today. For the precious blood of Jesus washed all my sins away. And there's not one sin left to remind him of the old nature that just died, 'cause I wasn't pardoned. I was justified.
Wasn't that a beautiful song? Praise God. It was not only beautifully done, but God really took the heart of that message and dropped it into your heart and mine. Praise God. The greatest need of men today is to know God, to really know Him. I would say the second greatest need, which goes right along, is to know our position as His children. And for some reason, I don't know why, these truths have escaped God's people. In all honesty and sincerity, much of the teaching, much of the preaching, has really missed revealing God as He is. God's intention, God's purpose. And believers, true saints of God, whose lives have been exemplary, who have obeyed God, who have lived for Him, oftentimes have lived in fear, constant fear, because they did not know where on the scale of relationship with God they would reach a point that would please Him, or if in their thinking or their attitudes they may somehow waver just a little bit below the line of acceptance, and it's created real problems to them. Bondage has come to many saints of God who have failed to realize that they have not only been pardoned, with sin being remembered again every year, but when they can realize that the memory of it in God's eyes, from God's position, has been destroyed. And we have been restored back to that place that man originally held with God, a state before sin began. When we can know that this is what God has in mind for us, it's His plan for us, we can rest. I felt that during this week, God definitely put this meeting, all the pieces together for the meetings that I held in Everett and also in Spokane. I've had several people, when I've talked about what the Lord did in ministering to those people in the Philippine Islands, and have mentioned how that the Spirit of God moved and the eager expectancy of in the Word of God. I've had a number say, it's just too bad that the people here in the United States are so closed to God that there isn't that same eagerness and that same excitement. But I want you to know something. I have discovered through taking this same meeting to areas where they are still in bondage to fear and problems, that they want to know. They're just as eager. And I saw a building that normally is very rarely filled with people, even on Sundays. On Tuesday night, the first night, 1.5 hour before the service was to start, because of the messages that people had listened to on tapes through the area, and they'd brought their friends in, that building was packed. There was not another seat. 1.5 hour before the service was to start. The second night, it was the same way. It was literally packed with people. Following the service on Wednesday night, there was a lady came up the aisle, and a lady that had been serving the Lord for many, many years, a real true saint of God, one that the Lord recognized and loved very, very much. But she came up just beaming. She said that I've been serving God for over 50 years. But she said, just to be real honest with my own heart, I had fear. I never knew quite for sure, and I'd cry. I'd ask God to help me. And I would pray sometimes at night, dear Lord, don't come during the night. Maybe tomorrow I can do a little bit better. Maybe my thoughts will be a little bit more on You. And there was a constant strain, she said, within her of trying to find what could be termed an acceptable spot on this scale where she could be accepted of God. She didn't know just where it was. But she told the people. She told me. She said, "Tonight, I can go to bed for the first time. Just say, 'Jesus, I can trust you.'" It's all taken care of. Praise God. There were about 40 young people came to the front and lined up to want to talk with me. I got them in a circle, and they shared with me their feelings. They said, "This is the greatest thing we've ever heard in our lives. This is what we can take out and we can tell people. Our friends have to know this, because they've heard it all wrong. They need to know that God wants them, and that they're worth something to Him, and that He has His highest plan for them is to make them acceptable in His sight." This is what the Word tells us. God's plan was, before He ever made the earth, was to make people acceptable in His sight. Praise God. This does not do away or remove our responsibilities of obedience to Christ. There are some people that are a little fearful when they hear this kind of a message. I had a number of people come to me and try to caution me and say, "Hey, now, Pastor, you better watch this. Some of these people are going to go out and live for the devil if you tell them that their lives are covered. They're going to feel that there's no responsibility in living for God." You have to kind of keep them afraid, or they won't live for God. I was glad I could tell these men. I could read them something here from Apostle Paul. You know, had this beautiful revelation. He's the one that God first gave it to, and he gave it to the world through the Pauline epistles. But he had a little problem with some folk too. And listen to what they said to him. This is in Romans, the third chapter, from the Living Bible. He was talking about how great it was to have this great justification that God brought to the world. And in verse 5 in the Living Bible, he said, "But some say our breaking faith with God is good, and our sins serve a good purpose. For people will notice how good God is when they see how bad we are." Bunch of nonsense if I ever heard it. But that's what they were saying in those days, and there are still some people that might say that. Then he went on to say, "Is it fair then for Him to punish us when our sins are helping Him?" That is the way some people talk. God forbid. Then what kind of a God would He be to overlook sin? How could He ever condemn anyone? For He could not judge and condemn me as a sinner if my dishonesty brought Him glory, by pointing up His honesty in contrast to my lies. If you follow through with that idea, you come to this: the worse we are, the better God likes it. But the damnation of those who say such things is just. Yet some claim that this is what I preach. They were saying, "Hey, Paul, this is what you're saying." And I've heard some people say, "Hey, the pastor's, he doesn't believe in that we have a responsibility to the Lord, because now he's preaching a little bit different message." Do you know that the message of man's responsibility to God has been covered? It's been ingrained in people's lives. It is there. The neglected area has been the message of justification. of what God has done. And this is one reason why I believe that God has sent this message by divine messenger, because to bring his body back into balance. And I would like to say today that because of what Jesus has done, does not give believers an excuse or a license to sin. Here's what Paul tells about this in this same chapter in the last verse. He said, if we are saved by faith, does this mean that we no longer need to obey God's laws? Just the opposite. In fact, only when we trust Jesus can we truly obey Him. You just can't quite do what you wanted to do without this trust and this knowledge that He, knowing what His plan is and what He has accomplished, all of your energies that God desires in your trust and your faith and service for Him are used in a struggle to try and reach a certain point. You may climb a foot and slide back 2 feet. You reach for handholds to climb up that cliff to get up to the spot that you know that God has for you. And you keep sliding back. You know this is the truth. But as you recognize that you're not having to struggle for your acceptance with God because God desires to make you acceptable with Him, you can use those spiritual energies to live for God. And that person who wants to use this truth as an idea to go into sin hasn't really met God, doesn't really know, and cannot really say, God, I love you more than anything else. That person cannot say, God, I appreciate what you're doing, and here's my life. They have not caught a glimpse of what the Lord has really done. But I wanted to share this with you today. God's purpose is so beautiful. In that experience the Lord gave me, it will be 2 years ago, the 22nd of this month. It's almost there. Almost the second anniversary. It'll be another week. Second anniversary. And the Lord allowed me to go through the Bible with Him from Genesis to Revelation. And this particular truth was the first truth that He wanted me to see, was how much He loved people and His desire and His plan to make them acceptable in His sight. You can look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, where He tells you that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be acceptable. And in the Living Bible, that is so beautiful. Long ago, before He made the world, God chose us that we should be His very own because of what Jesus would do for us. And He decided then that He would make us holy in His eyes so that He could accept us. Praise God. God's plan was then that we should be accepted of Him. He's not looking for some reason to disown you, but God is looking for every reason to accept you. Hallelujah. He has so much invested in you, and even now, in order to hasten men to Himself, He has a force of angels through this earth that are drawing people, pushing and pulling them to the Lord. I've had a number of people this week who have definitely told me that they were there because they knew that God had put the real pressure on them to bring them, that they might find Christ. Praise God forever. And this overlay of truth, first, is like covering the scriptures that had nothing to do with the believer, but would highlight those scriptures that would prove His acceptance. And as we went through the Word, oh, my heart was filled and thrilled as I could follow the path that God had drawn and that He intended to use in bringing His people to Himself. Then He gave me another overlay of truth. And this overlay of truth showed His desires for people when they knew Him. A desire for what they should be underneath the covering. They were already recognized, and He saw them because of their faith in the blood. He saw them looking like Jesus, justified, but under the covering. He has a beautiful plan for them. And as I went through this from Genesis to Revelation, the truths stood out. Beautiful truths that because we are Christ, then he added these various things. Then another overlay was an overlay of service. What God's desire was that we might be effective in our service for Him. Then there was a fourth one, which showed God's interest in the details of every individual's life. And I've talked about this one to you. That each plan, each life was so detailed, so completely that when we link arms with Him and accept our position, those things that happen to us says that we're foreordained to experience these things. The events that transpire are definitely predestined. They have to happen. But those of us who are a part of what God is doing, we're foreordained. We can choose or we cannot choose to do it. If we choose, we will be blessed. If we don't choose, we'll be selling ourselves short of the things that God has for us. But just a little bit of the overlay of truth in being prepared to serve the Lord. And I believe that it is the desire of every believer to be used of God. Have you ever cried out in from your heart as you've been praying, God, use me. God, see something in my life that you can use. Well, God wants to use you. And I'm going to read a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. In fact, we may read several verses here. He's telling us here about... Well, I'm going to read verse 19 as well, and we're going to read several verses. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth those who are His. And let everyone who nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The first thing is to depart from those things that you know displease God. This isn't to be accepted. This is because you belong to Him, you see. Then he goes on to say, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from those that would be dishonorable or hurt or bring dishonor to the great captain of our salvation, to our master. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Praise God. You see, you're ready for the master's use when you've recognized that there are some things that dishonor God, that would be a hindrance to you in your walk with God. Then he tells us some other things that would be a hindrance. There are many, many young people, many adults. Do you know that, and I'm sure you're aware of this, not only young people are troubled by youthful lust. Did you know that? Some of you fellows, 50 years old. Some of you 60. Maybe some of you 70. Still have some youthful lust there. You ladies, too. The youthful lust don't just belong only to young people. Here's what he said. To be used of God, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Fellowship with other believers, following after the righteousness. That word righteousness actually means the right way, the right things, those things that God has laid out before us. I've had several young people come to me and say, "Oh, this is such good news that there is a covering there, because I'm real weak, and there's some things that I just can't help doing that are evil, and now I won't mind so much about the." You say, "Well, you're making that." No, I'm not. There are a lot of people that are looking for some reason to sin instead of live for God. God didn't give you that reason. God didn't stimulate that reason. What God has done was to give you a reason to come to Him and to be accepted. But oftentimes, like Paul said, do not use God's grace as an excuse to sin. So you see, there's two sides to the coin. And this side, people know. They should know. But so that you will know that in the Lord's message and in His desire, that people can see their position with the Lord, that they do not feel that the Lord is condoning sin, those things that would be displeasing to Him. Then he went on to say, "Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patience." Here's some traits that he said that are the part of the nature of Jesus that the Spirit of the Lord will build up in your life as you wait in His presence. Then in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So he's asked us to prepare ourselves for the Master's use. Then in Philippians 2:5, he tells us to let the very mind of Jesus be in us, which was in Christ. And there are some people who take this completely wrong. He tells us what he's referring to here. It's his attitude toward God, toward the world, toward believers, toward those who needed God, and even toward themselves. But he said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Praise God. When he tells us here, this mind, that compassion, that those attitudes of Jesus toward God, toward self, and toward others, he's not saying here that you're going to know everything that Jesus knows. I heard a man speaking about this on the radio one day, that because God said to have the mind of Jesus, that means that we know everything that Jesus knows. But it makes people feel good, I guess, to have built a little fantasy up out there and say, "Well, I know just as much as Jesus knows, but I'm certainly glad that he has access to a little more knowledge than what I have. If I didn't know any more about what's coming in the days ahead, if you didn't know, And so that we would have an awful time relying on Him to know those steps before us and be able to link arms with Him and trust Him. I'd be a little leery of saying, well, Lord, if you don't know any more than I know, why, I'm wondering whether I'd link arms with you or not. I'm going to keep searching. Maybe I can find somebody who knows a little more. But let this mind be in you. He did not refer to the knowledge, but He referred to the attitudes of Jesus, Jesus' mind, Jesus' heart toward the things of God. Then He said another thing that the Lord wanted in preparing us was that His Spirit might dwell in us completely. Oh, what a beautiful portion of Scripture, Colossians 3. I'm not going to read it all, but there's a whole chapter here that you ought to read this afternoon, read it this week, telling us God's desire for us. Do you remember the message that the angel brought to me some months ago when he said that God's desire for our lives was actually our potential? What God desired for us, we could have. And he said it should be our goal. Well, his desire for us is that the mind of Jesus be in us, that the Spirit of Jesus will live within us, that his Spirit that caused him to be and act as he acted. Then he said not only the mind and the Spirit, but he said the deeds of Jesus, the example of Jesus. I'd like for you to read from Colossians, just a couple of verses here, 1, 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Walking, pleasing God, being fruitful in every good work. Those works will not make you accepted of God. But when you're accepted of God, then those works please God. You follow? This is very important that we have it. And increasing in the knowledge of God. He wants us to learn to know more about Him. Then in Titus 3:8, I'd like to have you turn and take this verse. This also, these verses I'm bringing to you have been brought to me by revelation from the Lord. This is part of the dual message of grace. That covering has two messages. One message goes upward to God and says, these people are justified, according to the song that we heard this morning. They're justified. Read Titus 3, verse 7 and 8. That being justified, there it is, the message that goes upward, by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God seeing us looking just like Jesus. Hallelujah. Then he said, now, since that's the case, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, those who are justified, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Those people that you want to bring to the Lord, those people that are looking to you and that God has put under your influence, the works, those things that point them to Jesus, that make them realize what God is really like. I could give you a lot more, many more scriptures here on the things that the Lord desires of us, but I'm going to just give you one more before we have a chance to open our hearts and ask God to help us to be more like Jesus. And that is, God's desire is that the very nature of Jesus is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, all of these things. He calls the fruit of the Spirit. That's the nature of Jesus. That the nature of Jesus and the beauty of Jesus might be seen in your life. In 2 Peter 1:4, he tells us that we are partakers of the divine nature by the things that he's given to us. Then 2 Corinthians 3:18, I'm going to read this verse. If you have your Bibles open, it would be well for everybody to read this verse and do some underlining. He tells us how this happens, how we can get the beauty of Jesus and the nature of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you wade in His presence, drawing from Him and His Spirit and His nature, suddenly the characteristics of your face, your image change. People may not see exactly what your features are, but they sense, I see the beauty of Jesus. And we have sung so many times, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, and that beauty will be seen as you wade in His presence and allow the Spirit of the Lord to change you. And it's not going to be a drab, uninteresting time, but He said it will be, you'll go from one point of great glory to another, from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord, the very thing that your heart desires will be found. And underneath the covering, in the view of man's eye, something will be happening, and man will be able to see you, the likeness of Jesus formed in you. Paul's prayer was this. After he had shown them the great covering of God and told them about the beauties of Jesus, and he said, I travail again, I agonize again, that Jesus might be formed in your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see it, folks? I wanted you to know. I don't want anybody to leave this place and say, the pastor has ignored all of those writings in the Word of God that tell us to live lives like Jesus. God wants us like Jesus. And it's only as we recognize what He's done for us can we ever attain that being like Him. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him this morning? Right where we're seated, I'd like to have you lift your hands toward heaven, and we're going to sing that chorus together. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. While you sing, open your heart to Him and allow an infusion of His Spirit to come while you behold the glory of the Lord. Will you do it while we sing together? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Jesus. We're going to spend a few moments here in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to ask, not because somebody else comes, but because down in your heart you feel a driving desire, a longing that you will be like Jesus, that you might be prepared for that Master's service that He has for you. And you'd like to come, just stand in His presence. Let Him see an effort that you're making. If you've never known Him, He asks you to come, to join these others as they come. And this is going to be a time of dedication to God, a time of new commitment, a time of recognizing that we need not surrender a life that is holy, that is like Christ, in order to recognize the covering of His love from heaven. But that underneath of this covering, the Spirit of God and the blood is flowing. Hallelujah. To cleanse and make us like Jesus. Let's stand together right now, and so that people can get out. Just make your way here for just a few moments in God's presence. You want to be like Him. You want to be ready for His service. You want to be used of God. Just open yourself to Him today.